Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Morris is with me on the line this afternoon because, Morris, you got in touch to tell us about an incident you had on the M50. You were travelling from Dublin to Limerick. What happened?
Yeah, good afternoon, Andrea. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, last Tuesday afternoon, I was out on my walk doing my daily duties and coming down the junction, minding my own business on the M50 from Dublin to Limerick. And I noticed the car, the opposite side, going into the Dublin on the right lane, flashing me. And I presumed that there was an accident ahead or something. So I took slow down and was wary that was something ahead going ahead of me. Mm. And next thing, all of a sudden, I realised there was a car coming up against me on my side of the dual carriageway on the fast lane.
Coming towards you on the wrong side of the road, Morris, is this?
Correct, yeah. Yeah. And first thing I obviously did was pulled in for safety, let the person that was driving in this car, whether it was male or female, I didn't pay much notice. And I just pulled into the side, looked in the mirrors to see was there anything coming behind me, put on my flashes, and thankfully there was nothing behind me. So I moved in and the car had zoomed past me in the meantime. So first thing came into my head was ring 999. So I dialed 999 and I got an answering machine about 2.5 to 3 minutes. And here am I thinking to myself, why are we getting an answering machine and a 999 call?
What do you mean an answering machine, Morris? What did it say?
Basically, it just says, lines are busy, please hold. Lines are busy, please hold. And it kept repeating itself.
And that went on for...
For 2.5 to 3 minutes.
Lines are busy, please hold.
Yeah. So I kind of had this thing in my head thinking, oh, maybe everyone is ringing in this incident that's going on at the meantime. But next thing, eventually, an operator answered, a male operator, and he just asked me, what's your emergency? So I just said to him, yeah. I said, look, I'm travelling on the M50. I'm on the road back from Dublin to Limerick, on my side of the motorway. And there's a car coming up against me, and it frightened me. And it's on the wrong side of the motorway going to Dublin. And I just said, I knew then at that stage I was at Junction 22. So I said, it's between Junction 22 and obviously Junction 21, because that would have been behind me. Mm-hmm. So he just said, he repeated himself, what's your emergency? What would you like, the guards or the ambulance or fire brigade? And I said to myself, can you not understand what I'm saying? I said, I need the guards. So he eventually put me through to the guards. He put me through to an operator, and who a lady answered, and it was a fire department. And she asked me the same questions. What was your emergency? And I said, that the car travelling the wrong side of the motorway, going to Dublin, facing the oncoming traffic, and something needs to be done. And she says, whereabouts? And I says, between Junction 22 and Junction 21. And she says to me then, which kind of surprised me, she says, do you get the registration number? And I said, I didn't get the registration number. I said, I got the fright of my life. Mm. I says,
can I cut across you, Morris, for the moment?
Yeah.
What time of the day was this?
This was roughly around 3 o'clock.
In the afternoon. So it was bright. Not that would have made any
bright.
Difference, by
oh,
the
God,
way,
yeah.
in terms yeah. of... And I presume yeah. this car that's, you know, on your side of the road,
yeah.
travelling against you and the oncoming traffic in the wrong direction. I mean, I take from what you were saying that they were obviously travelling at speed.
They didn't seem to be doing too fast, but then again, it happened so quick.
Sure, yeah, sure.
My safety reaction, my first reaction was to be safety. So I actually moved into the hard shoulder.
Yeah.
I was in the, we say, the slow lane.
And were they in the furthest right lane?
They were in the overtaken lane as if you were coming down. Yeah. Yeah.
But sure, even regardless of what speed they were doing, it'd be next to impossible to get somebody's reg plate like that.
Correct. And she even asked me another question. She said, how many people were in the car? And I just said to her, I said, listen, how am I supposed to know these things? I said, I've got a fight in my life. I says, and I just said to her, I says, there's going to be an accident. Someone's going to be ended up in, like a couple of weeks ago, they're going to end up in a serious incident again, and there's going to be bodies reported and all this. I said, someone needs to get out there. So she said, look, she said, I'll get out to the guards. And I just basically hung up on it. And I haven't heard anything since, obviously, anyway. And there was nothing that evening in the news or... anything like that. But it just seems to be, my opinion was, why a 999 call took 3 minutes to answer? You know, at this day and age, they advertise it on the radio and the TVs all the time, saying if anyone's suffering from a stroke or a heart attack or anything, please ring 999. Mm. Those 3 minutes that you're on hold and you're dialing 999, that could end up with someone's life in complete danger.
And I know, I'm not now in any way trying to take away from the point you're making. I mean, you know your experience. It's not for me to tell you otherwise. Yeah. But and I know, like, you know, the passage of time can be a hard thing to, you know, to kind of figure out when you're in the moment. But you'd know from looking at the clock, looking at the time, you reckon it was the good guts of about 2.5-3 minutes of a wait.
Definitely,
you were
because when I finished the call, I had pulled in for a few minutes onto a parking area, which is it had parking on the motorway, and I just took a glass of water, a drink of water, and kind of got my breath back. And I looked at the phone, and it was 4.5 minutes long for the phone call.
So right, made. So you had, yeah,
and I was roughly only a minute and a half talking to the people on the phone, maybe max 2 minutes.
And that was by the time you were on hold to get put through.
Yeah.
Initially, to then you're asked. Correct. Fortunately, I've never had to call the emergency operator. But so you're on hold to be told who do you want, guards, ambulance, or fire, and
correct.
Then you're referred to the guards. But you're on hold then to get through to somebody, the operator
to somebody
taking those calls.
The answer, second time, yeah, roughly about maybe 20 seconds for the second caller to pick up, which was the lady, and she was on the fire department.
And we don't know how, obviously, this played out.
No.
But you were probably looking at the news then all evening, I'm sure, when you got home.
I was listening to it on the radio and I was kind of fearing the worst and thinking, oh, here we go. We're going to have another tragedy on the roads.
It must be an awful shock, Maurice, to, you know.
It was, yeah. But an experience, all right, because I was shaking going home in the van and I could feel the hands. Now, I took my time coming home, obviously. Yeah. I couldn't do the full, you know, the estimated speed that was recommended, but I just took my time. And when I got back to my depot and my job, I got out the van and the lads looked at me and they said, what's wrong with you? And I just went, told them the story. They said, you're joking. I said, unfortunately, I'm not. I said, watch the hands. The hands were just shivering.
God love you. Yeah, it's an awful shock to get.
Yeah. So they unloaded the van for me and I just parked up the van and just went and had a cup of coffee and sorted myself out. And, as I said, listen to the news and hoping and fearing the worst, but thankfully it didn't come.
Thankfully you didn't hear anything. And, you know, because I'm just trying to, I'm sure for people, you know, tuned into us here this afternoon and you know, and given the discussion about this in recent weeks, but, I mean, the visual of a car coming down at any speed, I mean, whether they're doing 40, any speed's relevant,
yes.
But, like, coming towards you, you know, and you trying to manoeuvre to move lane and I'm sure it's 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon in the summer, probably a busy M50. Plenty of cars, I'm sure.
Thankfully, it wasn't that busy, but in saying that, there was an awful lot of heavy load vehicles on the road. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of in the back of my head after the car had passed me out. I just went, oh, there's a good few lorries behind me. And I just said to myself, hopefully, as I said, thankfully, nothing came out of it. So, you know. But like I say, it's just a scare. You just, 1 minute you're driving, minding your own business, and another second, next thing, there's a car in front of you where it shouldn't be, facing you. It's not for the faint-hearted.
No. You know, it's probably not something, I mean, you're obviously, sounds like you're driving for a living. I mean, the road's your place of work, Maurice, by the sounds of things. But, you know, I don't even know what is the right course of action to take. Are you guys told that as professional drivers, where do you pull in? Or
We're just told to always expect the unexpected, as you would do in your driving test, as you would be doing in your daily life, things like that, you know. I say only for the person that was slashing the other side of the road. I might have been in more danger. Might have been, but then again, I may not. I just don't know. But maybe that person that was flashing the other side of the road did see the danger before the car had faced me. And they realised that there was something wrong. So hopefully they didn't ring in and say, yeah, there's a same issue in the road. But, you know, like I say, when you see a car flashing the other side of the road, you just think, okay, there's an accident ahead or there's something ahead that you have to be aware of. And you just slow down, you know.
But really, your query, I suppose, today, Maurice, and the reason you're here telling this story was you seem to be, you know, sort of surprised by the wait time. Those seconds are vital in an emergency
those
situation.
Those seconds are vital in emergency situations on a 999. And well, there's two items. Obviously, there's one, why are the cars still going the wrong way, the motorway? And nothing really being done about it. And number two, then the 999 call. Why do you have to wait so long? You just don't know, like, and it'll cost people's lives, you know, as everyone knows.
Well, Maurice, fair play to you for, you know, for getting in touch today and highlighting this with us, and we'll certainly get in touch, you know, with those responsible for overseeing and coordinating the emergency response system to find out. I mean, what is the estimated wait time and how this operates? But worth flagging with us today. And look, I can hear even by the sound of your voice. I mean, obviously you got an awful land having to deal with this last week. But yeah, but look after yourself, Maurice, and thanks very much for flagging that with us.
No problem. Okay, take care.
Yeah, and if we get any response back from the emergency coordination, that line, that number, we'll certainly bring that to you. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. David Hall is with me. David's the owner of Lifeline Ambulance. David, you might be able to shed some light on how that works. Can you explain that?
So, Andrea, the emergency call response system is run by a company called BT Communications Ireland. They do the call handling, and therefore they answer the phone, the 999 phone. And that's sometimes, you know, we as Maurice correctly said, we see 999 and 112 written everywhere. Mm. They have become household names and household numbers, and are very, very important and an integral part of society. But no one really knows what happens when you do dial 999. And obviously it's not practical to have, you know, 999 for the fire brigade, 911 for the police. So it's not practical to have different numbers. But ultimately, somebody answers the call and then directs it to the different service that you identify, be it the fire, Coast Guard, ambulance, Gardaí. And they then in turn have to answer that call an extra time. And that's an unfortunate hurdle that has to be jumped, and it is busy. I'm not aware that it's a regulated system. I'm not too sure under whose remit it comes. It is one of those international structures, national infrastructures that's absolutely critical and vital, and one that we don't know, is it under-resourced, over-resourced? Sounds from Maurice's experience and my own and others' experience, it is one that is under-resourced. And indeed, each of the respective emergency services centres who then take that referral call from the 999 call centre themselves are under pressure to take the volume of calls that absolutely have increased.
Is there best practice, though, in terms of the wait time? How long somebody like Maurice or anybody else calling David should wait to speak to somebody to report the incident?
In other jurisdictions, they have guidelines in relation to what should be, and they have KPIs and benchmarks. I've been in this business for 30-odd years. I've never actually seen any report governing this area. I've never seen any KPIs or standards being issued. Obviously, there's hoax calls. They are recorded.
That's right.
And they do get issued. But along with the hoax calls, I would imagine with the hoax calls, surely there should be other data that's readily available. Because, you know, in a hoax call, the knock-on effect of the hoax call is like what Maurice is talking about. That's an additional weight while someone's dealing with a hoax call. Apart from the resource turning up, we always remember and visualize a resource turning up at a hoax call. But actually, somebody has to deal with that person making the phone call in the first instance, and that is in itself a delay to answer a call like Maurice's and other calls. These are life-changing, life-threatening instances, both of fire, ambulance, Coast Guard and Gardaí. They're finite resources. Calls are increasing. Trouble and difficulties and indeed violence and other such consequences are increasing. We have to have a confident, a fit for purpose and a system that we've got confidence in. And it is one of those unknown areas that's so critically important to everybody in the country, is in the back of everybody's mind. Mm. The first thing you do in circumstances when you're under pressure or where you witness something or see something is dial 999.
No, we've certainly contacted those responsible for discharging the different emergency coordination response, and if we get a response or a statement back from them, we'll certainly bring that to you. If listeners want to share their own experiences with us, you can drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. David, thanks a million for joining us. David Hall there, owner of Lifeline Ambulance, and Maurice, who got in touch to detail his own experience with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.